Welcome to the latest edition of the Monty's Men podcast. I'm Chris Lell. I've got Steve up in, I'm assuming Minnesota, right? Is that where you are? I know you're in a hotel. Is that still Minnesota?
I'm over the border in Wisconsin right now. So.
Ah!
Yep.
Cool. Do you have cheese for dinner? That's all I know about Wisconsin. That and the Badgers.
Well, I had Chipotle. Yep.
Oh.
Classic on the road, just in the hotel parking lot. I'm tired. So
check your blood pressure from all that salt, man. Jeez. Hey, unless Chipotle wants to sponsor this podcast, then hey, I'll eat it every day. Eddie up in Toronto, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Some things are going on, but I won't speak on it right now, but good things, I'll say.
Changes.
Yes.
Turn. Something like that. I don't know. I won't sing. That's not my specialty. So, my specialty is talking about Sevilla, and I'm probably not that great at that either, but we are doing that in this podcast. This is a Sevilla FC podcast. English speaking, kind of weird. I don't know. There's not a lot of us out there, but us three fellas love to talk about it, along with some other folks on montysmen.com. So come over there and visit us. Today we're talking about several things. One being the awesome Man U game that nobody gave us a chance to pull out, but we sure did. And then we've got some, we're in that competition which we love, the Europa League competition. Got some league games to talk about, a bunch of league games. We've been very busy here with Sevilla Land. And then, we'll talk a little bit about the Mexico trip coming up, San Francisco, Mexico. And I think that's it. So let's get right into it, guys. Last time we talked was right after the Valencia game. So we had this big match coming up with Man U. We kind of shocked the world there by pulling out, 2-2 draw, I believe, at Man U. Setting us up really nice for this fixture, coming back home. And just domination, right? I never felt like Man U was in that game at all from the start. Like, I think that they heard the crowd. I don't know if the crowd was at their hotel the night before or what, but props to the Ramon Sanchez Pichuan group, the Beers, the whole stadium. I don't remember it being that loud throughout the whole game ever. Like, it was just a brilliant atmosphere. Loved it. I was just jumping around in my seat just because it was so awesome. It just came through. But anyway, just dominated. We took the lead really early, 8th minute. Yusuf En-Nesyri, 50th goal for him as a Sevilla player. Congratulations. And that kind of, really weird mistake there from De Gea and Harry Maguire. And that's the fans, right? Like, the fans, I think, that and our pressure just caused that kind of that mistake, right? Do you think? Just crazy. Anyway, 2-0. I mean, we went up 2-0. Ended up winning this game easily. I mean, it was just unbelievable game. Steve, you want to start us off? What did you think about the match? How did you watch it?
How did I watch it? I was actually watching this from home. I was traveling for work that week, and I made sure that I was home by 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday to watch it. And I was just going nuts on my couch. So that's how I watched it. Thoughts I had about it, both shock and also not shocked at all. Not surprised, really. I guess I wasn't surprised in the fact that we won this. At the same time, I would not have been surprised had we gone out and not played well. This is just a team that we have right now that is, you can kind of go either direction and not be surprised at anything. But given our history against this team, though, I knew going into this that everything was possible. And we talked a little bit with Ryan about this in the last time, Ryan Moore, about how, like, we got back to even on aggregate. Away goals were no longer a thing, so we knew that we had a shot going into this. But as you mentioned, Chris, like, my God, the atmosphere and the way the team played was probably the best I've seen this team play in the last year and a half. Like, going back to, like, the first 6 months of the 2021-2022 season, I don't think we've played this well in all of the 2022 calendar year, and then 2023 up to now. Just complete as a team. Had we been in the form that we were in throughout the last year and a half, we would not have capitalized on those mistakes. Like, those mistakes would have been made, but we would have gone over the crossbar. We would have fallen down and gone down like a baby deer. Has a weird mistake coming off his line that, like, what's going on there? So yeah, it's just like we played together as a team, and then we had lucky breaks that went our way that have not been falling our way for a long time. So it's seen everything come together, and then also with the crowd, it was good to see. I've not been that excited about a result of a game probably since we won the Europa League during the COVID year. I can't remember being like viscerally excited about a match. There were probably matches that were, like, also big and I got excited about, but just the feeling of this being in our competition against a team that we played very well in the past and have played pretty frequently in the recent past, it just all went well. And then in the aftermath, I guess, is what I'm looking for in the game. I listen to a lot of soccer talk radio, Sirius XM and stuff like that, and they're all just like throwing the towel and cranking all over Man U and stuff. And then also, like, got around to talking about, like, how Sevilla was actually playing well. It wasn't all just the English team is like giving up opportunities and should be playing better. It was like, hats off to Sevilla for playing this. And so seeing that respect and seeing the fact that these big names in soccer punditry here in the States and in the UK are also acknowledging the fact that Sevilla kind of played out of their minds for those 90 minutes was really good to see.
Yeah, that's interesting. I noticed that during the broadcast, it was just, mistake by Man U. Like, they were, you know, they like Sevilla, it was nothing they did. It was all Man U mistakes is kind of how they played it. But they were watching a different game than I was watching because, oh my God, they were balling. Eddie, how vital was Acuna in that match? What do you think?
Acuna is always is instrumental, especially in, I think it's just the way he plays left back. I think he's really the poster child of a winger turned left back, right? And I think it's he makes the most out of the 1v1 duels, and that's him going at the opposing winger. Usually it's the other way around. So him always feel like he has to prove something against the opposite wingers. Like, I could do exactly what you could do, but I'll actually get by you. But Acuna is always instrumental. He's always one of my favorite players. Whenever I look at the team sheet, he's one of the first names I look out for. Because we don't really have a left wing still. But kudos to Lamela that was occupying that spot. I know it's a bit unorthodox for him, but... Acuna was immense. The goal scorer in the city was immense. I think, for one, taking the ball off Lamela for the first goal, and then scoring from long range. I mean, in the city of pre-World Cup, in the city would have missed that open net. He probably wouldn't have had the confidence to take the ball off Lamela to score it at. So you could tell something was in the air, seeing the sea of white, how loud the stadium was, that you felt, okay, this, you're at a cauldron right now. So this is a team to be respected. And it's a reason why they're the six-time champions of this competition. I still don't think it was that easy of a game, just because I felt like Man United still could have done something at any point in that game. Once Rashford came on, he came on earlier than I thought. So I'm
half-time.
Like, he's right been their half-time. Best player this season. And they just need one chance, right, to get going, because they have the talent. But it just didn't happen for them. I don't know, because they have been playing well this season. So I'm pretty sure even Ten Hag was kind of disappointed in how his team came out. But kudos to us for getting it done. I don't think Sevilla fans doubted that result. We knew it was going to be tough.
No.
But I'm pretty sure we knew and believed that we could pull it off. We've seen the team do that so many times. So we have another big team ahead of us in the semifinals. And I still don't think, I mean, the draw favors us that we have the second leg at home. But we still believe that we could get through there. No matter how many good players they have, but Sevilla will pull through.
Yeah, that's a good point. Acuna, the reason I brought that up, I thought he was spectacular. I mean, I thought he put Anthony in his pocket almost in that second game. And then he got the vital assist with Ocampos. Almost had the vital assist. Right. It was offside. But... I mean, just a gorgeous, gorgeous little play up to that point. I thought Man U coming out of half was going to be better. I really did. Rashford came on. I thought they were going to be good, but then that's when we scored our second goal, like right after halftime with Bade in that weird little corner. Man, I thought that went over the bar. I was like shocked that it went in, because it just looked like it went over the bar, but it somehow like kissed the post and went. You know, dropped in.
It was akin to, I think, Benitez's second goal at Old Trafford, where we felt like maybe De Gea could have done better on that one too. So I don't know what happens with De Gea when he plays Sevilla. He's playing like an ex-Sevilla player, you know, when you get gifted goals by ex-Sevillista. But that was strange.
It's weird to see him play in ways that, like, he's out of his comfort zone, because I mean, he's a very good goalkeeper. But for whatever reason, he makes these boneheaded decisions that push him in situations that he's not going to thrive in. And that's a mental thing, like coming off of his line like that and the decision to pass to Maguire. Like those are mental errors. Like that's not a skill-based thing. So like, I don't know what it is, but we get in his head and it works. But also on that Bade goal too, like that was kind of a weird trajectory coming off of his head onto his shoulder. So it's like it's one of those things that who knows what's going through the goalkeeper's mind and always tracking the ball and everything like that too. So
yeah, it was cool. Just good thoughts all together. Something about this tournament, guys. I don't know what it is. We always find ourselves if we can make it to the quarterfinals, we always find our way through, and hopefully it continues. Juventus Thursday 3 p.m. Eastern time. Be late over in Sevilla. So I don't know. I mean, Juventus has been kind of up and down this year. They had that big, huge, like 15 point deduction early in the season, and then that got overturned and. I don't know. I tried to watch a few of their games. They don't look spectacular. They look fine. I think they're getting a few injured players back. I'm interested to find out. I'm on a podcast Wednesday with the Turin Giants, I think is what that podcast is called. So I'm interested to learn more about their season and what they can tell us. I think we're going to try to do like a cross post on that. So that'll be... I think that'll be on our channel and their channel, kind of like a dual podcast, if you will. If you're into punk, way back in the day, you could get records. It was like an AB. It would be like one punk band on one side and another punk band on the other. That's what we're having this time around, I believe. So that should be good. Hopefully we can get some other Monty's Men guys on there as well. So That's coming up. You guys know anything about Juventus? I mean, they got some players, some players we've beat in the past, even. So,
I mean,
in Europa League or Champions League.
As much as I love City,
or both,
I haven't.
Pogba.
I haven't watched much of the league this season, unfortunately. Really good season. While
Papu leaves and you stop watching, man.
You know what I mean? yeah, unfortunately, but I feel like they haven't been doing too bad. I mean, the 50-point deduction was there, but I think, like their manager was saying, they're just gonna play as if it didn't happen. Just, I guess they were always gonna wait to see how it's gonna be resolved later on. But I don't know. Allegri is a very straightforward manager. I feel it's not about how it looks on the pitch. It's about a functionality. So he's a very results oriented coach. So I don't. It's one of those coaches that's got to get the most out of his players in an important match. So they do have the talent. I'm just not sure if they're going to show up because apparently their striker is not really firing on all cylinders. Like I said, I haven't watched them. I haven't watched them at all this season, so I'm not sure how well Chiesa's been playing, the young Italian star, because he's really good, but he's coming off of a long-term injury, so I'm not sure how well he's been playing this season. But they do have the talent. They have Pogba, Di Maria. But we shall see. They have beaten us in the past.
I think their top goal scorer. Yeah, I think their top goal scorer this year is Milik.
Oh wow!
If I'm not mistaken. That's it kind of shows you what they've been missing up top. So, yeah.
I don't watch a lot of. I watch so much sports in general. And unfortunately, Italian football is not one of them. Like, I just don't have a lot of time in my day to watch more. But I have been following the league a little bit. And over the past couple of weeks, just kind of diving into Juventus a little bit. But the biggest thing is, like, when the biggest headlines for a team in a season, for like a team's season as a whole, is things that are happening off the pitch. That's never a good sign. It doesn't matter how well they're playing on the pitch. If the biggest headlines are off the pitch, like, that's always going to be a distraction. That's always going to be something else that's coming up there. Like, they had the 15 points taken away. Now they're put back, but they could be taken away again. Like, they just reinstated them provisionally. So, like, we don't know what's going to happen. What we do know is that I believe they're in third place right now in the league. And that's a league that's pretty competitive.
Just moved up to second yesterday.
Second,
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, they won their game and jumped Lazio.
So, like this is still a team that is it's a good team, and it's going to give us problems. I think. I think we have the skill to handle those problems and meet that head on, but it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's kind of a weird juxtaposition for the Man United games rather, because I think that Juventus is a better team than Manchester United. I don't think their players are as good individually. I don't think they're as skilled individually as the Man United players, but the team plays better as a team. And I think that they are better than Man United by quite a bit. And that's kind of a similar matchup to how we came out against them and won 3-0. Like, we didn't have the skill to match up with them 1-1 if they were completely healthy, but we played better as a team. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this Thursday. And then I guess a week from Thursday as well. Should be a good matchup, and I'm excited to see what happens.
It's always nice to be playing these giants of European football, right? As they would call it. So,
yeah. Like I said, they still are a good team. They're second place in league right now. But all that being said, they're still a shell of their former self. They are nowhere near as dominant as they were for most of the last decade. So I think this draw favors us in that sense, where, like, we are playing a team that is definitely on the decline from where they were. So it's kind of like going into the Man United game. Anything can happen with this. So let's just go out and play the game, and that's we'll see what comes of it.
Well, speaking of result-oriented managers, Sevilla's got one now, right? Like, clearly, he's getting results. And we've got some league games to talk about now. We'll move on from Europa League. Lots of good results in the league. He did suffer his first loss. Mendilibar got his first loss with the club against Girona a couple, what was that, a week ago, I guess? Yeah, a week ago Thursday. So, keeps moving. But league games, we picked up a 2-1 victory over Villarreal right after the Man U game. I mean, that was setting up to be a trap game if you've ever seen one. Still at home, but, you know, coming off of that huge of a win, there's always a room for a trap. Pulled that off, 2-1 Villarreal, again, over Villarreal. Then we went up to San Mamés and picked up a 1-0 victory late up there. We would never have said that sentence, like, 5 years ago, right? Like, it just never happened. It just seemed like that was always an L or a draw when we went up there. But we've had some good results the last couple of years up in Bilbao. Then there was a 2-0 loss at Girona. And then we come back home, 3-2 winners over Espanyol this past Thursday. The
Girona game was...
lost to unpack here.
But the Girona game was at home as well, though. Yeah.
That was at home, too? I missed it. Yeah, I guess it... Yeah, sorry. Misspoke. Jeez. So we had three. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, sorry. So, ouch, that one hurts even worse. It was at home. Yeah. I remember that now. Yeah. Cause there was a lot of like sighs and boos and stuff, just from the play. But, let's get into that a little bit. The 2-1 victory over Villarreal. I mean, great, great victory there. Good team. They've kind of been up and down since Emery's left them, but still a good win and a rare goal there. We saw a goal from Mr. Rafa Mir, Ryan Moore's favorite player, and a good goal too, right? Like turned, smashed it right up in the top corner. So, guys, do you remember anything about the Villarreal game that stood out other than all offside everywhere?
From what I remember, Villarreal is a team that likes to have the ball and to play out from the back. Very passing orientated team. So they kept trying to stubbornly play out the back because they're capable. You have a player like Parejo there in the midfield that could coordinate things. It just took them a while to get it going, but we were just assaulting them in those first opening minutes. I'd say the first 10, 15 minutes and forcing errors on their end. We capitalized. I think just passed it directly to Suso, so he just took that and ran with it and played in Rafa, who always knows where the goal is, right? Rafa knows how to strike the ball a little bit, so it was a little bit understated there, but it was a really good goal by Rafa. But
That run by Suso. Suso Nation, man. Suso running.
He had like a... There was a quote that I don't have in front of me about him not liking to run. Similar to what Vasquez said a couple years back. He's like, I'm not a runner. You know what I mean? It's not something he does.
That was in reference when Mendilibar got to Sevilla. He was wanting to move Suso to wingback. And Suso was like, hey, I mean, that's what the article that I read said. And he was like, dude, I can't play that position. I don't run is pretty much the context of the quote. So, yeah, I couldn't see that either. I thought that was weird. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you, but that's the background of that quote.
But the end of that first half wasn't pleasant because Villarreal was getting back into the game and they did score. But we turned it around in classic Sevilla fashion, Nuka Serinde. And our tall man, who probably the highest leap in La Liga, getting the goal at the end there.
Just
insane.
Gorgeous.
He keeps impressing me every game because I feel like some of his goals are a bit fortunate, but he's always there scoring. So he's doing something right. And yeah, utilizing his weapons to a T.
Yeah, get the 94th minute winner right before the end of full time there. Just rising above everybody and heading it home. Just such a gorgeous leap. It was just so nice. And I really thought Perea was just not good in this game. He just seemed really lazy and slow. Villarreal as a whole just seemed a little slow to me and just not really into the game. I mean, they still had their moments, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I don't think we had our best version of Villarreal showing up that game, but good. We don't need them there.
Because they're chasing fourth place, so it was kind of surprising they didn't go harder than that, or were struggling even.
Yeah, true. I mean, that game, they were kind of like right there behind Real Sociedad. There was still a chance of getting fourth place, and that's kind of went wayside since then. But yeah, so we follow up that game with the trip to San Mamés and another late winner, this time from a PK from Ocampos. Kind of a strange match, that one, right? You guys kind of a boring match, which may be good, but I don't know. Just not a lot happening in that one until Ocampos. And Ocampos won that penalty, right? He took it and won it, if I'm not mistaken.
Just a shoot, Steve. Yeah, sure. A little bit of trivia here. Do you remember how many shots on goal were did both teams have in that game? One.
One.
Yeah.
One shot on goal, and it was the penalty kick that Ocampos took.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I remember that. Jeez, what a snooze fest.
But hey, it was a snooze fest that was in our favor. So
started off really well, though. Like the pacing of those first 10-15 minutes, it's like, okay, we got a game here. Like, we really want this win. We got a win at the Mestalla. Yep. It's like, okay, maybe San Mamés, maybe asking too much, but hey, let's give it a go. But those guys always play us hard, man. I think they just play hard in general. So shout out to Athletic Club. But yeah, we came away with the dub. That's a big boy victory right there.
Yeah, exactly. Big for the standings at the time too, because that moved us up closer to the guys we were chasing, and setting up a really kind of important fixture there with Girona in the next match day. That for whatever reason we didn't show up to that match. Girona just played a really good game, well coached. I don't think Sevilla played particularly well in that game, but you know. Riquelme for them, those guys, I mean, he really impressed me in that match. I thought he was excellent. Got the assist on the first goal. Castellanos, the former MLS player, got a goal in that one. He's been scoring here of late. I don't know, really well coached team that just kind of took it to us. And I don't know. It just seemed like a weird match. Maybe a little tired. I think the team was a little fatigued at that point.
I mean, in a week and a half time, basically, we played, or 2 weeks time, we played Manchester United, Villarreal, Athletic Club, and Girona. Like that's a really congested fixture list, and we won all those games going into it, and it was a Thursday to a Monday turnaround. And then followed by another Monday to a Thursday turnaround. So we knew we had another really important game coming up after it. And I think it was probably just exhaustion at that point.
A lot of opportunities, just couldn't find the back of the net. I know I remember right, they hit the woodwork one time. Looking here, there was 23 total shots that we took, a lot of blocks, five shots on target to their three. Just just one of those games that you and I think the Mandela Bar after the game said we could have played that match for 3 weeks and we still wouldn't hit the back of the net. I think is what the quote I saw. And it felt like that watching it. It just seemed like nothing was going to go in. So I wasn't upset over that loss. Like normally after a loss, I'm like pissed off. But that one, I was just like, okay. I mean, it's hard to be mad at these guys after all the stuff that we've been through the season and we've been playing so well. I wasn't like super upset with that one. I was just disappointed because I knew where we were in the standings and that would put us like right tied with them. Yeah. And at the time, it would have put us only 5 points behind Real Betis, which to me is the goal of the season, is to leap them, which would have been awesome. But that loss makes that climb a little harder. But
of the four league games that we've played since we talked last, so we've got what? We had Valencia. We had, no, we didn't have Valencia. We had Villarreal. We had Athletic Club. And we've had Girona. And we had Espanyol. Girona was probably the one that was most important for us to win in the standings, just by where everything is like congested in that center of the table. And that was the one that we didn't. I would have rather we had beaten Girona and lost to one of those other three teams. If I knew that we could win three of them. But beggars can't be choosers, I guess. Now we've got a little bit of an uphill climb because the way that the La Liga tiebreakers work, with head-to-head results coming in before goal differential. So if we end up even with Girona at this point, they are going to they're going to be higher than us. So it's going to come down to, I think, some nail biting at the end of the season to see where things shake out.
So the last league game there we got to talk about is the Espanyol match from Thursday. And yeah. I'm just going to call that one the Papa Gay Show because he dominated that match. He was so good throughout the match. I thought he was excellent. I said Papa. Pape, I think, so you didn't actually say it. But anyway, he was so good. And we got a goal from Mr. Brian Hill in that game. Congratulations to our former guy that's back with us. Hopefully he's with us for a while. That was a good goal. We saw Suso go off early with an apparent kind of injury. I haven't heard anything from that. And then, I don't know, we kind of finished that first half kind of a downer, right? We weren't playing super well in the towards the end of that first half, and they had gotten a goal back right before halftime, and Mendelebar just made two substitutions at half, bringing off Telles, who I thought was not good at all in this match, and then also bringing on Enesri for Rafa Mir, which I think was really good substitutions and made a big impact in that game. Guys, what stood out of that game besides our new guy, our new Frenchman, Papagay?
You could. Did you want to tackle this one, Steve? By the way, he's Senegalese.
Senegalese. That's right. But he speaks French, right? Have,
yeah. But yeah, he was very instrumental. But yeah, did you want to tackle this one, Steve?
I mean, I don't have a whole lot of thoughts about this game that don't apply to the other games that we've also played in the last 4 weeks. Other than the fact that I am getting kind of tired of seeing Dimitri Vetchkin goal. He had a couple of mistakes in this last game that he just seems flat on his feet. He gets caught flat on his feet quite a bit more than Bono does.
Do you think he would have saved that second goal if Bono was playing?
I think Bono would have had a legitimate shot to save it, yeah. But it wasn't just the goals. It wasn't just the goals either. Like, I mean, Dimitrovic tends to hold the ball longer, and gets himself into some nervy situations with the ball at his feet, that haven't resulted in concerning situations for us, like goals or defenders or attackers taking the ball off his foot. But it just seems like there's two or three times a match that he's got it at his feet a little bit too long before he gets it off to well, he doesn't pass it off to defenders anymore. Mendilibar just has him like hoof it down the field. But I don't know, I'm every time I see this team sheet, I get a little bit more disenfranchised with that selection in particular. Like, I think that we need to get Bono back in goal really. Like, there's no reason for him not to, other than the fact that Mendilibar is more comfortable doing the history. You can make the argument that we're trying to save him for Europa League, but there's, if everything goes according to plan in Europa League, there's only 3 games left in Europa League. What are we saving him for? Like, we've got the guy that won the best goalkeeper award in La Liga last year sitting on the bench for the majority of our games since Mendilibar came in, and that's disappointing. And I mean, that's really nothing against Mitrovic. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, I just, he's, in my mind, he's a clear number two to the guy that we've got sitting behind him right now. And that just doesn't, of all of the decisions that Mendilibar's made and the stuff that he's gotten out of our team, this is the one that I just can't wrap my head around.
So would you rather, and we've seen this in the past a lot, where managers play one keeper in tournament styles and one keeper in the Liga. We saw that with, Rico back in the day, and
That's how Bono got the job too. Bono played in Europa League when Bacsalek was in league.
Yeah,
But
true.
I mean, that's, I don't know.
It is interesting that, because I think in those situations we had our number two starting the Europa League games, if I remember right, but
Yeah.
I could be wrong there. But
I get the sense that maybe we're gonna have not Bacsalek, no. Dimitrovic, between the sticks next year. And
yeah.
I mean, mentally, Bar may have been given information by the higher ups that they're looking to sell Bono this offseason. Just given how he played during the World Cup, and he has played very well. He had a couple of games that were a little bit subpar and out of character for him. Right before Mendilibar came, like we were giving up quite a few goals, and there were some mistakes that he made there. But he's bounced back from that, and he's played pretty well, really well actually, in the Europa League up to this point with Mendilibar. So I wonder if it's just a, let's get Dimitrovic in here, build up some of that rapport with the defenders, because he's going to be
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's fair, I think, the criticism. I've always been kind of questionable about Dimitrovic's like distribution, especially when we're trying to play out of the back. He does seem to be rushed, but I mean he makes some great saves as well. And I don't think he's cost us any games since Mendilibar's been the manager. Eddie, any thoughts on that? Bono Dimitrovic kind of conversation.
I've had that thought, that he doesn't feel like the number one keeper yet. He hasn't sold me like Bono sold me. I mean, Bono had spectacular games that won me over. I mean, the United game, obviously. I'm talking about the 2020
Yeah.
Europa League United game. So I think Dimitrovic hasn't had that chance yet. But it's not as if I'd give up on him. So I think these games are good, and I think it's actually a smart thing to have him starting, since the league is kind of not done and dusted for Sevilla. I mean, seeding it does is important, but in terms of development, I think this is better for the both of them. And if those plans, it's likely those plans will happen in the summer with Bono. It's very likely, knowing what Mochy does. It's kind of smart,
Yeah.
to be
Well, it's
honest. But
just
yeah, I'm still waiting on Dimitrovich to win me over.
It's just frustrating because so that season that we played in Europa League, I mean, and won it. if I remember correctly, we actually had to come through. We came through qualifying for that, didn't we? Because that was when we finished like sixth in the league or something like that, and then we had to play. Oh, except we finished seventh in the league. It was before Conference League was a thing. In that season where Caparrós came in twice and saved us or whatever, before Lopetegui came. And we played through the entire gamut from one of the qualifying phases to the group stage, through the group stage into weird COVID shortened time. Like, I understand why you want to play two different goalkeepers between league and between like cup competitions at that point. And during that season, Vacilić was the number one goalkeeper, and he played very well up until he got hurt towards the end of the season. And then Bono played both Copa del Rey and Europa League. And so, like, it makes sense because they, at the end of the day, they're going to have about an equal distribution of games between the two of them. But right now, where we are, like, it's obvious that our defense is more comfortable with Bono in goal. Like, during the Europa League games, like, the defensive line is more comfortable knowing that he's behind them, and you can see it in the way that they play back passes to him, and where they, like, they're not as tentative. So there's only seven games. Like, ideally, best case scenario, there's what, seven games left in our season? We got what, four games left in league and three games left in Europa League. Right? I would prefer to see maybe five games left. Maybe eight. Five league games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got eight games left. Like, a goal, it is not too much to ask for a goalkeeper to play the next eight games, right? Like, I would prefer to have a single presence in the goal for those eight games, because otherwise we're going to get into a spot where we go into Juventus, we've got one goalkeeper, we go into Real Valladolid, we've got another goalkeeper, and then we go back to Bono. Like, we need that consistency with this defensive eight players that we substitute through based on injuries and suspensions and weird ideas that Mendilibar gets for starting Nianzu every now and then. Like, at least have some consistency in the goal. If we can't have it elsewhere on the pitch, like, have it there. I don't know. Like, I've thought about this a lot, and it's just.
Well, I think you answered your own question on why it's happening. Because I don't think Bono is going to be here next year, and I think they were probably trying to get Dimitrovic. They're trying to make that decision. Is he going to be our number one? Plus, there's the comfortableness of Mendilibar and him. I mean, there's a lot of answers behind that maybe we don't know that they're actually answers. We're just we're guessing, but I mean, that's more than likely what it is, right? Like, it just makes more sense. So,
like, take all of this with a grain of salt. Like, if the biggest gripe that I have with a coach that like of this year, of the 2022-2023 season, like, with this coach that we have currently, the biggest, like, misunderstanding or gripe that I have with him is who he has starting as our goalkeeper. Like, he's doing a pretty good job. Like, let's be honest. I personally have said some very bad things about the other coaches that we've had. This is the thing that I pick apart the most. Like, okay, like, there's not a whole lot to complain about there.
Guys, it kind of brings us to, you know, what's coming up next for this team. I mean, we know we've talked about the Juventus game coming up on Thursday. Right after that, we've got a league game. We're traveling to Valladolid, which we've always kind of like struggled playing up there for whatever reason. I don't know what it is about going up there. Maybe it's
one of those teams, man.
Yeah, we don't like purple. Maybe that's what it is. We just don't like the color purple. I don't know. Anyway, that's Sunday, May 14th, 12:30 p.m. game, just for that. Then we got the follow-up match for Juventus May 18th at the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan, 3 p.m. game again. And then we got the derby on Sunday, May 21st, 3 p.m. So lots to talk about. I'm sure we'll be chatting. Maybe we can do something special for that game. I don't know. We should try to do something special for for the Derby, maybe. Maybe we'll do like a live chat, or I don't know. We'll figure it out. But that's all coming up. Some good games coming up, guys. Especially the Europa League. That's huge. Speaking up of upcoming games, we've got we made the announcement, I think, last time, San Francisco and Mexico games for Sevilla, where they're traveling to the U.S. and Mexico, playing the Derby down in Guadalajara, Mexico, and then they travel up to San Francisco 3 days later to face Atletico Madrid up in Oracle Park there in San Francisco, the home of the San Francisco Giants. So hopefully we can organize something. I'm working on trying to figure out if there's going to be a fan section for tickets. I'm hoping to have that information soon. So if you're looking for more information about those trips, I'm going to be in Mexico and San Francisco. I think, Steve, you're going to be in San Francisco. Eddie's still on the fence. We don't know.
I'm not sure.
Thought you booked.
I haven't booked. There's potentially some family obligations that I'm trying to get out of, but it doesn't look good. So we'll see.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, Ryan, it was on the show more. He's going to be in Mexico and San Francisco with us. I know Ray has been on the podcast in the past. He's going to be in San Francisco at least. I think Ruben, that's been on the podcast in the past, he's going to be in San Francisco. I don't know about Mexico on that one yet. But anyway, looks like an awesome time. Looks like we can at least meet at the game. I'm sure we'll do a pregame somewhere, kind of like what we did in Boston a few years back, try to get as many Moxie's Men members up there. But, look on Twitter, at Chris Lale, my handle there. You can see it on my screen, I think. For more information, as soon as I have it, I'll pass it along. I haven't bought my game tickets yet because I'm trying to figure out sections and all that good stuff, but we will figure it out. I've been talking to the guys in the team, so as soon as I know something, I'll pass it along, and we'll make that happen. Sevilla Atletico won again this week. We'll give those boys a shout out. They've been pulling out some really key victories. 2-0 win. Ryan Johansson with the goal to open it up. Really good drive down the baseline. Scored from a tough angle. Really interesting goal there. And then Carlitos, as I like to call him, Alvarez, scored the second goal for the guys. 1-2. I think they only have one match left, if I'm not mistaken. And that's still a big match to stay up, I believe. I don't think they've secured that yet. So huge. Women. I watched the women's game a little bit after Steve alerted me to it. I don't think either one of us wanted to watch that. But
sorry to bring that to your attention. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah, they didn't do so hot against Real Madrid. So, but it was good to see them because I like to give the women some love every now and again.
They didn't do so hot against them, but they're playing really well, like, in general right now. They're on a pretty hot streak. So
doing pretty well. Do we cover everything? I think we've got a lot of it covered. Anything else you guys want to chat about?
Not much. We got the next game is in Turin, which we've had success before, not only against Juve. We didn't have success against Juve in Turin, but Emery's first was in Turin.
That's right.
We called the Italian job, so this will be Italian job too. if we're to do anything over there, it'll be tough, but hopefully similar to the last round, something favorable to take back home in front of our crowd. So I'm pretty optimistic about this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I did run into a Benfica fan the other day, and they are still salty over that penalty shootout in Turin. So I can't blame them. That was pretty terrible refereeing, but hey, I didn't see anything. It looked good to me. Anyway, he was still salty, but it was a fun conversation. Steve, anything you want to give a shout out to? Anything standing out on the forums you want to talk about?
No, not really. Honestly, like it's been super active over the last couple of weeks. to the point where it's difficult for me to stay caught up.
It's amazing what winning does to the forums.
For a while there this year, it'd be like, oh, like one new comment a week or something like that. That's an exaggeration, but like it was not hard to keep up. And now log in after a day and a half, and there's 12 new comments and an entirely new thread. That's the call out that I've got, is just there's so much content out there. We can't even get close to covering all of it in the time that we have on this podcast. So if you're interested, like, check it out. I've been trying to call more of it out and link some stuff out on my Twitter. And there's some folks that have been involved there. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. That helps grow our community. I used to do a lot more of that. That's a huge help. I need to start doing that again. We'd love to continue growing this podcast and the forum. So check us out at MontysMen.com or the Monty's Men Podcast on Twitter. Until then, I guess until... I don't know when we're going to meet. We got to pick our game up a little bit. Maybe we meet after the, definitely after the Pettis game. I mean, that's a must after the Derby, but maybe we'll try to do after whatever the results are for the Europa League there too. But look for us soon. We'll be back. Until next time, vamos mi Sevilla.
Vamos campeón.
Y nunca nos rendimos.